for my mother. But let me see if, using these words as a little plot of land and my life as a cornerstone, I can build you a center. Qiu Muzhan. I want to tell you the truth, and already I have told you about the wide rivers. Joan Didion. Part 1. Let me begin again. Dear Ma, I am writing to reach you, even if each word I put down is one word further from where you are. I am writing to go back to the time at the rest stop in Virginia when you stared horror-struck at the taxidermy buck hung over the soda machine by the restrooms, its antlers shadowing your face. In the car, you kept shaking your head. I don't understand why they would do that. Can't they see it's a corpse? A corpse should go away, not get stuck forever like that. I think now of that buck, how you stared into its black glass eyes and saw your reflection, your whole body warped in that lifeless mirror. How it was not the grotesque mounting of a decapitated animal that shook you, but that the taxidermy embodied a death that won't finish. A death that keeps dying as we walked past it to relieve ourselves. I'm writing because they told me to never start a sentence with because. But I wasn't trying to make a sentence. I was trying to break free. Because freedom, I am told, is nothing but the distance between the hunter and its prey. Autumn. Somewhere over Michigan. A colony of monarch butterflies, numbering more than 15,000, are beginning their yearly migration south. In the span of 2 months, from September to November, they will move one wing beat at a time from southern Canada and the United States to portions of central Mexico, where they will spend the winter. They perch among us, on windowsills and chain-link fences, clotheslines still blurred from the just-hung weight of clothes. The hood of a faded blue Chevy, their wings folding slowly as if being put away before snapping once into flight. It only takes a single night of frost to kill off a generation. To live, then, is a matter of time, of timing. That time when I was 5 or 6 and, playing a prank, leapt out at you from behind the hallway door, shouting, "Boom!" You screamed. Face raked and twisted, then burst into sobs, clutched your chest as you leaned against the door, gasping. I stood bewildered, my toy army helmet tilted on my head. I was an American boy parroting what I saw on TV. I didn't know that the war was still inside you, that there was a war to begin with, that once it enters you, it never leaves, but merely echoes. A sound forming the face of your own son. Boom. That time, in 3rd grade, with the help of Mrs. Callahan, my ESL teacher, I'd read the first book that I loved, a children's book called Thundercake by Patricia Polacco. In the story, when a girl and her grandmother spot a storm brewing on the green horizon, instead of shuttering the windows or nailing boards on the doors, they set out to bake a cake. I was unmoored by this act, its precarious yet bold refusal of common sense. As Mrs. Callahan stood behind me, her mouth at my ear, I was pulled deeper into the current of language. The story unfurled. Its storm rolled in as she spoke, then rolled in once more as I repeated the words. To bake a cake in the eye of a storm, to feed yourself sugar, on the cusp of danger. The first time you hit me, I must have been 4. A hand, a flash, a reckoning. My mouth a blaze of touch. The time I tried to teach you to read the way Mrs. Callahan taught me. My lips to your ear, my hand on yours, the words moving underneath the shadows we made. But the act, a son teaching his mother, reversed